Hello, faithful podcast listeners. It's Kevin Makins here, one of the pastors at Eucharist, and we are glad to have you joining for Advent. This year for Advent, we've got a number of things going on and wanted to just let you know about those. First up, we are gathering in person again. Woohoo! We are meeting at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning church officially happening. And we've invited all the kids to join us for the season of Advent. And so if you would like to join us, you are more than welcome to join at the 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. We would love it if you could pre-register to those services if you know you're coming. Just go to eucharistchurch.ca and you'll see the link on our website to pre-register through Eventbrite. If you can do that, that's great. If you don't pre-register, you can still show up, but we'll just have to see how that goes. We also have our prayer room open. The sanctuary is open as a prayer room on Tuesdays from 10 to 7 and Thursdays from 10 to 4. And some artists from our church have made an Advent art installation, a series of meditations and contemplative spaces that you can come and check out. And they're really, really great. Finally, we're going to be having Christmas Eve this year outdoor at the park by Eucharist Church, J.C. Beamer Park. And so you are invited to join us at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve for an outdoor service, which will consist of some hymn singing and some candle lighting and some gospel reading. So we would love to have you there. We hope you have a great Advent and look forward to connecting with some of you in person. Grace and peace.
Going to be reading our invocation. My name is Nina, by the way. I'm a pastoral intern at Eucharist right now. I'm going to be reading an invocation. These are words written by a friend of the community for this Sunday of Advent. Something quickens in the heart of all that is. Something kicks in the belly of the girl. There is joy in that kicking. There is joy in the birth. There is joy in the desert crying that he is here. He has come to raise up the lowly and turn the rich away, to fill the hungry with good things, and to kick for joy. To kick down every door that stands between him and his children, from the curtain in the temple to the gates of death and hell. Amen.
So we are continuing to walk through this season of Advent, looking at these traditional themes that guide us through the season. And this week we come to joy. And as Randy said, which I really appreciate, joy doesn't always mean happiness. Happiness is sort of situational. I'm happy when I have tasty food. I'm happy when I have something entertaining to watch. I'm happy when I feel like things are going well in my life. But joy exists in a different place, at least within the biblical imagination. In the Bible, when we read about joy, we occasionally hear joy as it relates to things that we could see, like people that we love who are gathered together. But most often in Scripture, when we see joy, it's a spontaneous response, usually an embodied response, which is why it's so great that we have Shakers, because joy is this embodied rejoicing. It's an explosion of something that doesn't originate with us. People in Scripture, when they have joy, often describe their joy from prison cells. They often describe their joy while suffering. The author of, I believe it's Philippians, you should Google text before you bring them up. In Philippians talks about, talks about Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and its shame. And so while we may associate joy and happiness and those kinds of things as being globbed together, in Scripture, joy is something that explodes out of us when we recognize how God is present in the struggles we are in. The joy is almost like an act of defiance. Happiness maybe is more situational, but joy can come out of our suffering, out of our loneliness, out of our fears, out of our doubts, when we recognize how God is breaking in to our darkness, how God is making sense of our suffering. When we remember especially how God has guided us before, how God has brought us through valleys in the past. And so the present becomes contextualized. And even when we are in the valley, and even when we feel grouchy and rotten and awful, there can still be that small burning fire of joy. And the gift of that joy is that that joy, like a flame, can be contagious. This summer, I was like so on cloud nine to finally see other people. I don't know if anyone else remembers that time when you were outside for the first time and people weren't wearing masks. And everywhere you looked, you were like, ah, faces, too much glory, too much brightness. It was just too exciting to just see all these smiles. And I was on Ottawa Street in the east end of Hamilton. And I was talking outside of a shop with a friend, and someone who I hadn't seen all of COVID walked over, my friend Ryan. And I was like, oh, Ryan! And he was like, oh, Kevin! And he said, how are you? And I said, I'm so good, how are you? And he said, oh, I'm just grabbing some stuff and then heading up to the cottage. And I said in full earnest joy, the cottage? Life is abundant! And I cheered with both arms. And he looked at me like I was a crazy person. And I had that thought of like, am I a crazy person? And I left that conversation feeling almost a little embarrassed of just how spontaneously the idea of anything good happening felt. You know, anything good. I'm assuming lockdowns. I'm assuming struggles. I'm assuming that this is not going to end anytime soon. And yet, even with all of that going on, a cottage with your family and people you love and food, life is abundant. And it's interesting, about a month later, I was at a party in a backyard. It was a barbecue. And I was just standing and talking to some friends, and up runs Ryan. And he says, like, Kevin, I'm so glad you're here. I've been hoping to run into you. I couldn't shake that comment you made about life being abundant. I was like, that old thing? That like embarrassing, earnest explosion? And he said, yeah, at first it confused me because it was so strange. But then he said, but then all weekend, I found myself sitting with my family at the cottage, smiling and shaking my head and thinking, life is abundant. He said, so I just started telling all of my family members, whenever they said, how are you feeling? He said, I feel amazing. Life is so abundant. And he said, so they started saying it. And by the end of the weekend, we were all just smiling at each other saying, life is abundant. Which doesn't negate everything else, but contextualizes everything else. Joy is contagious. Joy is contagious. And in our text this week that we're going to be reading, we hear for perhaps the first time in the life of Christ and John the Baptist, who are in the wombs of their mothers, we get a sense of that contagiousness when from within the womb, one child reaches out to another and sparks a bit of life. So we're going to carry on the story we've been reading through the Advent season. First of Elizabeth, who did not think she would be able to have a child and then does have a child. And then Mary, who was not yet in the place in life where she would have thought she was going to have a child, but now she's being told by the angel that she will. And after hearing that she is going to have a child, Mary runs to see Elizabeth. And this is their interaction. And both of their songs we'll be reading as well over the course of this time. So God, would you help us to hear your word here, to receive it, however our hearts are feeling today, to receive it, and if you give us the gift of joy, to receive that. And God, if you don't give us the gift of joy manifested today, would you at least plant the seeds that can give us a joy that can kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight? Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from Luke chapter 1. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly.
You're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman, who believed what God said, believed every word would come true.
Yellow words, if you got a shaker and you're just scared, if you were just going like, joy to the world, the Lord is, it's just every once in a while. And it could be on any of the yellow words. It will keep you right on beat. But if you want to be, joy to the world, that's okay too, all right? And if you're, that's all right as well.
And Mary said,
I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing Bargarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up into now.
Go tell it on the mountain. I feel like it is a good joy song. And for all those shakers and stuff, at the end of every chorus, every verse, there's Shana Holy. That's the crazy part. There's lots of noise. You can stop. It's just, it is noise. There's some people who think less is more. This is not one of those times. This is a more is more kind of time, okay?
Well, this is very fun. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then went back to her own home. And I wonder how Mary felt walking the roads of Rome to visit her cousin. As we talked about last week, those Roman roads that had been the sign for God's people of so much oppression and so much violence and so much fear. Now those same roads were being walked by a young woman who was carrying inside of her God in such a vulnerable way, such a small candle of joy. And perhaps Mary even had her own moments of doubt, wondering if that small light of joy was enough to overcome all that darkness that she saw. But we know that the story continues. We know that the small lights of joy grow. We know that they eventually come into the world. And we know that even when they are extinguished by the darkness, they spontaneously erupt back into resurrection light. So let's pray together and ask God that perhaps this flame would grow in each of us as well. So God, as we reflect now on joy, we ask you, God, if we desire it, we ask you to give us a small light of joy in those hidden places. It doesn't need to be noticeable to anyone else. It doesn't even need to be noticed by us. But at this place and at this point, we humbly ask you in our inner self to give us the gift of joy and to grow it over 3 months or 8 months, to grow that flame so that we might become people with enough joy to overcome every trial. Thank you for Christ, who shows us the way of joy. Thank you for Mary and Elizabeth, who show us how to hold it gently, how to steward it wisely. Would we find ourselves overcome at moments in this Advent season and Christmas season, bursting forth with an abundant joy from you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.